Well, on Christmas Eve, the long wait of Advent is over, almost, and the long wait of Advent becomes our joy. Christmas, for me, is not a historical event. It's not an anniversary, and it's not even Jesus' birthday. It's something new, something completely new every year. Is the promise of God's kingdom coming here on earth to us, to visit us, to literally visit us each year here on earth. And that in God's kingdom would be peace and justice for all people. It's interesting that in the Gospel of Luke that we hear, he takes some pains to be very real about the story. In that sense, he uses very specific language. He talks about Quirinius being the governor of Syria at the time, and we know, in fact, that isn't in the case. At the time, it was. Lots of very specific things, and so he's trying to get the story absolutely right. He's trying to get it right because he wants us to know it, and he wants us to believe it to be true. But if we're talking about God coming here on earth, God, who created the universe and everything in it, including us. How would God enter earth, really? How does it make sense in our human minds for God to enter the earth? And if you take a look at it from that perspective, there's some things wrong with this story. There's some flaws. For one thing, so many people in this story are afraid. Zechariah is afraid. Mary's afraid. The shepherds are afraid. And each time the angel who comes to them has to say, "Don't be afraid. It's going to be okay." But God is coming and they're overwhelmed. It's beyond their comprehension. There's some other things here as well that might cause you to think. The shepherds hear the news from the angels. Now, if you don't know what the shepherds were like back in Jesus' day, let me tell you. They were outsiders. They were aliens. They were people from other countries who could not get work anywhere else because it was a poor-paying job and it was dangerous. And they were the only ones that would take it. They were considered low esteem. They would be very poor. They were thought to be shady. And again, aliens from the outside, not to be trusted from another culture. And no one would give them the time of day. These are the people who God chose to give the news of Jesus' birth to and to spread the news. Strange thing. Also, Mary and Joseph, they would have been very young. They would have been in their early teens, not married, pregnant. A barn. Pretty much everyone here, I think, has probably been in a barn before. It's smelly at the best of times. It's dirty. On the floor is hay, and you know what else is on the floor. And the Savior is put in a trough. So that's how God enters the earth. These flaws are repeated over and over in this story. I have something to give you a quote here from Paul, part of his letter to the Corinthians. He writes, "Consider your own call, brothers and sisters. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were powerful. Not many were noble of birth. But God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world, things that are not, to reduce to nothing things that are." What if it is reality? What if Luke's story, as he took great pains to make it real, is reality, and this actually says something about God? What is it that these witnesses are seeing? This miracle is not done to the strong, it's not given to the powerful, it's given to the weak, to the marginalized, to the lowly, to the outsiders. Let's pretend, what if this happened today? What if the Savior of the world in good time meant today and came on this evening and, let's say, for example, to Vancouver? Why not? I would imagine the young couple would be unwed, just like they were. She would be pregnant, and they would be homeless. You getting the idea? We're probably talking about the downtown east side. And even there's no place for them to go. So where do they go? They go to an underpass. And she has her baby. And it's probably wrapped in an old sweater. And who does the message go to? Who does this message go to on the downtown east side? Other homeless people. Probably some of them with drug addictions, mental illnesses, perhaps both. And they're the ones that come to Mary and Joseph. And I can't help but think, for a lot of good, really theological reasons, this time Jesus would be a she. And so there she is, the Savior of the world, with this homeless couple under this underpass, and it's cold. The long wait is over. The long wait of Advent is over. And joy is among us. Joy is among us in the most miraculous, most unbelievable, beyond our comprehension kind of way. Why is that? Because Jesus has come to save the broken, the marginalized, people who are hurting, people who are just getting along, people who are in pain, people like all of us. Like all of us. Jesus has come this night to be here to save all of us, to be among us, to be one of us, to know what it is like to be human. And to be human in the sense of God in this story starts with the lowly. It starts at the bottom and works its way through. It is fitting tonight that we have a Eucharist at this service, because a Eucharist, which means thanksgiving, we give thanks to God for walking among us, for being a part of us, for understanding what it is like to be human and to love us anyway and save us every single Christmas. In his name, in her name, amen.